chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Jim Canfield on the show today. Jim is the president of CEO Tools by Aprio and is the author of CEO Tools 2.0, How to Think, Lead, and Manage Like a CEO. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Jim, hey, I am so excited about this conversation today. And you and I met recently through Nancy Erickson.
Yes.
So I'm very grateful to Nancy for connecting us. And you're in Arizona now, but you didn't grow up in Arizona, right?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. Okay.
Right down the river from where you are.
Yes, that's right. So I'm sure you've done Graceland and all of those wonderful things that you do in Memphis, right?
We've got great Graceland stories. So
I bet. And have you spotted Elvis?
When I was growing up, he was just a hometown guy. I mean, he was famous all around the world, but to us, he was just like another resident. So everybody's got their favorite Elvis story. My brother and I used to play a little joke, and we would occasionally ask girls out and tell them to dress formally. And we would show up in a limousine and tuxedos, and they were quite excited about what they thought was going to be a date at one of the city's best restaurants, only to be taken to Graceland for the candlelight vigil that happens every August. There was some disappointment initially, but then they got into the fun of it, and we did end up going out to dinner. But yep, everybody's got their own favorite Elvis story.
I bet. Well, we did have the privilege a few years ago through YPO to tour Graceland and have dinner there, and it's a really special place. So that's a little bit about how you grew up, and I want to kind of get into where you are today. I know that you are a serial entrepreneur. You're the author of the book, CEO Tools 2.0.
Yes.
Now, when I see CEO Tools 2.0, people think, oh, Chief Executive Officer, but that's not what it stands for. What does it stand for?
I run into CEOs all the time who really started with two people and a good idea. And their business has grown over the years, and now they have this title of CEO, and they really don't know what it means. It's like, what does it mean, CEO? And so I created an acronym for the letter CEO to mean communicate, execute, and optimize. And, you know, I know you talk a lot about something special, and we can talk about another one later. But, you know, I think when CEOs really get this piece, and it doesn't have to be CEO. You could be CEO, you could be president, COO, you could be a manager inside of a business. But these same three letters apply, communicate, execute, and optimize. Because whenever my team wanted to implement any meaningful change, these are the steps we followed. What do we need to communicate? And how do we get that message across? What do we need to execute? And what do we track to make sure that that execution is delivering the results that we want? And then optimize is just my simple way of saying, how do we keep it going? At least, I don't know if you're like me, but most CEOs, and I definitely fell into this trap, we're great starter-uppers, we're great launchers, great kicker-offers. The finisher-uppers, you know, not as much. And optimize was my way of saying, how are we going to finish strong? How will we hit the marks that we've laid out? How will we hit our budgets, our targets, and our goals that we've originally set with this? Because in many cases, that's 12 months later, 6 months later, 9 months later. And how do we make sure that we've got all those pieces built in to deliver the results that we say we want and need?
Absolutely. Well, I just love it. And Jim, on the back of your book, you've got Chip Conley, and I'm going to read this quote from him. He says, "Tools belong in a toolbox, and Jim Canfield's classic book has created a new classic toolbox overflowing with practical, actionable advice for any smart executive or entrepreneur who wants to outpace the competition." And I told you, when we started our company 27 years ago, I wish I'd had this toolbox, because so much of what we've done over the years, it's really, you know, we've learned, and obviously we've had mentors and things like that. But I can tell you, when we first started our business, we really didn't have any of these tools. And I want to dig into this more, but even like your one-page business plan, I love that. Talk about, I think it was Craig Kramer's, right? And so the book is based on his original book. So tell me a little bit about that.
As you mentioned, I'd founded a couple of companies and was still relatively young in my 30s and started to run peer groups for a company now called Vistage. And I brought members together who would talk about their businesses. I think you've had that experience. And Craig came in to speak to my groups, and the groups just loved them. Great anecdotes, great tools to use. And we brought him back a half dozen times. We stayed friends over the years as I went on to run other companies, other peer group businesses. I brought him in there as well. We stayed friends. And then he suddenly passed away of cancer. And when he passed away, I heard that he passed away, but didn't know what would happen. And I'd heard that someone had bought the content. Well, it turns out he had always mentioned being a member of a peer group in Atlanta. And one of his fellow members had actually bought the rights to this intellectual property, but really didn't know what to do with it. And that member's chair in Atlanta was the guy that brought me into Vistage in 1994, 20 years earlier, and said, you know, you ought to give this guy a call. He may have some ideas. And I did. And the CEO of Aprio and I hit it off. And our intention was to rewrite the book in today's a more modern context, build some online tools, do some speaking to promote the brand, work with some clients directly, and then certify other coaches and consultants who'd like to use the content. And that's what we've been doing over the last 4 years, just based on that original content. So 2.0 keeps a lot of the original ideas that were part of Craig's repertoire, but there's so much has happened in business. So there was a lot of updating to do. And then I was able to bring my own experiences and also the experiences of dozens of other companies that I've worked with over the years. And I just feel like it rounded out what it started with, and we'll always honor that starting place with CEO Tools and Craig Kramer's, but I just feel like we've really taken it to the next level.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, I want to ask you this. So you had asked hundreds of CEOs, how would you like your company to change? And really, you've synthesized it down, and there's usually about three things that they say. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to, I'd like to have better financial results. In other words, higher revenues, higher margins, higher profits. I'd like to make this thing easier to run. Get me out of the middle of everything. I see so many CEOs who are that hub and every spoke runs through them and every decision has to happen with their approval. And they want it to run easier. And then the third thing is, at some point I thought owning a business was going to afford me more flexibility, more time to myself and with my family. And somehow or another, all these things have gone just the opposite. I'm not making as much as I would like to or feel like I should. I'm really more caught in the middle of operations, and I don't have the time to be able to do what I want to do personally.
Right.
How do you help me?
Well, I just think it's really interesting that it really kind of synthesized down to those three things. And goodness gracious, we all definitely need more time. But sometimes, to your point, when you own a business, if you don't put boundaries around it, it can be really consuming. But let me read this. And I think that this is really an interesting fact. Only one business in 10 will have a revenue that exceeds $1 million.
Yeah. Let me make that number even bigger, Lisa. There are 15 million businesses in the US and Canada. So that means out of the 15 million, only 1.5 will go over a million with at least more than a handful of employees. So it means the vast majority of businesses out there are providing a living, but they're not a scalable growing business.
Right. And I know that that is what you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, you want to help businesses, you want to help business CEOs, you want to help them grow, you know, and so it's important. People want to be part of healthy things and healthy organizations are growing, right? if you're not growing, I mean, that might mean you need to kind of take a look and maybe take a step back. But people want to be part of a healthy organization. And as the organization gets more healthy, then you can do more good in the world and improve the world. So it's important.
Let me quantify that for you, Lisa.
Yeah, please do.
Every employee who feels fully engaged with an organization is worth $30,000 more than any other employee. Here's how I come to that number. This is brand new information from Gallup organization. And they took a look at employee engagement. They found that if an employee was highly engaged, it took a minimum of $30,000 of additional salary to have them consider leaving. If it was an employee who felt low or no engagement with the organization, they'll leave without any increase whatsoever. So you're building a buffer into keeping your best people, not by paying them more, but by creating that engaged organization. And the first two steps really inside of CEO tools are meant to do that. Set direction and then communicate to build trust. Set direction. I can't align with you. I can't become fully aligned if I don't know where you're going. And then communicate to build trust is all about engagement. See, it's interesting. I keep saying communicate to build trust. And in fact, the world's largest study of engagement is the Edelman Trust Barometer. It doesn't even say engagement. It says trust. Here's why. There's a one-to-one correlation between trust and engagement. Simply put, I'll only engage with you up to our current level of trust. And if you want me to increase my level of engagement, you must increase the level of trust. And trust and communication rise and fall together. So this is all about, here's where we're going. Here's how we're going to get there. And then more, as importantly, what are we tracking along the way to see if we're on and off track? Because that allows people to understand when we win and have some fun and hopefully even gamify the business along the way.
Well, what you're talking about here, Jim, is you're talking about the seven steps. So in the book, you talk about the seven steps of business system and setting the direction. You've already talked about that one, but yeah, I want you to dig into this because that's where the one-page business plan resides. So dig into that one a little bit, if you will. And what does that mean? How would somebody even get started on that?
Yeah, the one-page business plan is amazing because we can make a simple statement, as we often do as leaders. That sounds pretty easy when you break it down, and then you've got to think about communicating not only where we're headed, but that means who we are, mission, vision, and values, our purpose. We've got to communicate our strategy, where we're headed over the next few years, our tactics, how we're going to make that happen this year, our actions this week, this month, this quarter, and then our goals and objectives we've laid out. That's a lot. And we recommend a single sheet of paper, if you will, think old school about it, but a single sheet. And that's why it's called appropriately the one-page business plan. Inside of this, we get in one document a reciting of our mission, vision, and values. This is who we are. So whenever people look at where we're headed, they're reminded who we are. I'll bring all that culture down to a very simple statement. Our mission, our vision, and our, most importantly, our values, well, that's what we praise and what we punish. See, if you do something consistent with that, I say, great job, pat on the back, get me more people like that. You get outside of that, we're going to have a discussion. You might get written up, might even get you fired. So that's important to restate over and over. The next column, five strategies, no more than five. And I really hold people to that. Then the next column, those are our tactics, what we're going to do this year, no more than five tactics per strategy. So you can see we're keeping things really simple. The next column over, well, that's our metrics. That's what we're tracking to know if we're on and off track. And then next column over are our goals. When do I know if we win? If I do enough of that metric, when do I hit those goals? And last is a spot for an owner. We have one set of eyes that keeps track of each one of those metrics so they can report on it. Even though we went through it quickly, you can see how they all link together. The tactics support our strategies, metrics support our tactics, our goals tell us when we win, and we've got an owner who tracks all of that. We've got a spot for a big audacious goal. I'd like for every company to have one big thing that they want to make a difference in the world about. And then our key customer impacting positions, those handful of roles in the organization that can make or break it with customers. And when people work on this, Lisa, I think it does a couple of things. Number one, when they're finished, they often go, wow, for the first time, I really can see where we're headed, how we're going to get there, and what we're tracking. But I think more importantly, and you'll hear this in our conversation, and as you look back on the book, you'll probably see this as well. I always say the tools are one part of a very valuable exercise. The tool gives us a place to put these inputs. But the real value is the conversation. It's when the team can get together and go, okay, well, five strategies, what would we work on? What are we going to pursue? And therefore, by default, what are we choosing not to pursue?
So important.
And so it's the same thing with some of the other tools as well. It's the conversation that gets created. See, I'm a firm believer that if you want to change the culture of the organization or the results you're getting, you change the questions that you're asking and the conversation that you're having. And ultimately, I think the success of companies often comes down to the quality of the conversation that they're having internally.
Yes, I cannot agree more. Jim, this is so good. But we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jim Canfield.
Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground.
Welcome back to the Something Extra podcast with Jim Canfield. So Jim, we've been talking a lot about your CEO Tools business system, and you've touched on a few of these, but I do want you to dig into communicating to build trust. And you talk about walking the four corners. Do you have an anecdotal story that will help our listeners understand this a little more?
Yeah, a couple of things here. When we say walk the four corners, it sounds easy, but it can be really hard. I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I've had the best of intentions. I get to the office, start the day, answer a couple of emails. 3 hours later, I'm in email jail. You know, yes. I have a couple of meetings, take a couple of phone calls, and the day's flown by. And yet another day has gone by when I didn't engage the people inside the organization. What I'm really talking about doing is whether it's physically walking the four corners or virtually, where I may be on Zoom or other media, it's engaging the people who do the work and simply asking, how can we do things better around here? What is it that you see? Because you're so close to the situation that I might not see on ways that we could do things better. What else? What else? Then categorizing those things and really making a difference in the continuous improvement inside. One of the largest companies I studied for a book is a company called Danaher. They're a $20 billion company, and they require their supervisors to ask each one of the people working for them, if our goal was for you to do your job better today than yesterday and better tomorrow than today, what would we have you do differently? Then they categorize all those items, pass them up to managers who look for best practices and ways to improve, and then ask upper management to fund those in the ways of process and systems improvement that create reliable results over time. How well has that worked? Danaher's beat the S&P 500 20 out of 20 years in a row. And I think one of the best operators of businesses in the world is Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway. Danaher is one of only five companies in the world who have beat Berkshire's results 10 out of 10 years in a row. And they say the way they do it is by taking action on the suggestions they get from the people doing the work and continually improving over time. Now, it sounds like the whole point of walking the four corners is to get these ideas. And it is, but it's even more. There's a famous story about Jack Welch, the CEO at GE. He's in an appliance plant they own in Kentucky, and they're trying to decide whether to even keep the plant open or not. He's asking a long-term employee these same kinds of questions. And the guy's giving him all these great ideas. And Welch turns to his assistant and says, are you getting this stuff? This is amazing. And the guy stops him mid-sentence and says, Mr. Welch, you know what the shame of this is? For 20 years, you've paid me for my hands, and you could have had my brains for free. No one ever asked. See, the minute we start asking, and I get that this is subtle stuff, but you think about the average CEO out there. They've got people working for them 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, sometimes more. And if we don't ever ask, the signal we're sending is you're just valuable for what you do.
Right.
But once you start sending the signal that you're valuable for what you know, that we care about what you think, they feel more valuable, and that trust and engagement goes up dramatically.
Absolutely. And we started our conversation talking about engagement. You want an engaged workforce, let them have a voice and engage their brain too, for sure. People want to feel valued. So, Jim, I love this. I told you, you know, we all have learned about SMART goals over the years, but you have got a really very simple way of helping employees write goals. And I told you, in reading that, just inspired me to start rewriting some of my goals.
you know, it's very simple, but tell us about it. You say basically you need a verb.
Yep.
Then you need the noun, the outcome, the date equals a goal.
And you got a goal.
And you got a goal. It's a super simple way of writing goals.
And this is why I say the tools, Lisa, are applicable for anyone who leads people, any manager, leader inside the organization. And as you say, what's beautiful about this is it's simply the way we speak. You know, if I ask someone, what would you like to accomplish this month, this quarter, this year? They're going to speak in the exact same language that you just laid out. Here's what I want to do. Here's how I'm going to make that happen. Here's what I expect the results to be. That's the outcome. And then that makes the goal. And all of a sudden, they've laid a goal out, sometimes before they even realize it. And then as the leader, I just ask them questions about that. How are you going to do it? What support do you need? Are there any obstacles that you see that might get in the way? Well, that's a really robust conversation that I just don't see happen in the traditional SMART goal system.
Yes, I love it. You know, I don't know who coined this, but there's a quote out there that says, you know, the reason that we do that is because the ink of our memory fades too quickly.
Oh, it's beautifully said. I'll tell you something really interesting. A couple of the tools are meant to have people also share their goals with each other. And that's also important. Like the quarterly priority manager, a lot of that is built around having each team member set their top five priorities for the next 90 days, and then share them with each other. Now, I knew this worked for a long time using it, but I didn't really know why until in 2019, the Association for Training and Development, the ATD, released their first long-term study on goal achievement, 10-year study. And they found two pieces that were really interesting for this sharing goals out loud. Number one, if I share a goal with you today, Lisa, and then we don't see each other again, I go off and do my thing, you do yours. Just the fact that I've shared it out loud in a public space, I've got a 60% higher likelihood of achieving that goal. 60% jump just because I shared it out loud.
Wow.
And number two, if you agree to become an accountability partner for me, you listen to the steps I'm planning to take, you hold me accountable for taking those steps, maybe make some suggestions on other steps I might take. Well, my likelihood of goal achievement goes up 90% when I'm using an active accountability partner. When I get my team to start talking to each other instead of just talking to me as the leader, I develop a very high degree of accountability with the team, making sure that not only do they get things done, but there are other team members too as well. It's very powerful.
Oh, so powerful. I absolutely love it. And listeners, as you can tell, there's just so much here. So I want you to get the book. I want you to dig in to more of these tools. So tell me this, Jim. I'm just interested because my friend Jeff Henderson says the best thing that you can do for your organization, for your family, is to give them a healthy you. So we know that for successful people, routines and structures and typically morning routines are really important. So what is yours? Do you have a morning routine?
Yeah, look, I catch up on any news that I think are important. I make sure that if there are articles that have been written, I have five or six business publications that I really trust and respect. And I look at those every morning. I'm surprised how often I end up using something from one of those publications later in that day. It's just kind of amazing. Like it came right at the time it was needed. And then I get moving quickly and start my day. My days oftentimes start pretty early. I may have a broadcast or a speech to do across the country or even across the world in the UK, and those can start early. So I get started quickly. At least a few times a week, I want to get some exercise in. I stick with a healthy diet. I think like a lot of things in life, it's not that complicated if you get a pattern and you use it. Let's face it, if you want to get in shape, what do you think the likelihood somebody's going to give me advice about diet? How about exercise? How about drinking enough water? How about getting enough sleep?
Good sleep, right.
And I think it's the same thing about leading, Lisa. It's let's deliver the message, and that's communicate where we're headed and how we're going to get there. Let's execute by tracking metrics so that people can see on a regular and ongoing basis whether they're winning or not. And then in optimize, coach people to the highest levels of performance, build systems, and then celebrate successes over and over and over and over.
Well, my goodness. And you mentioned metrics, and you talk a lot about KLIs, key leading indicators too. I mean, there's a lot here, but we can take it in chunks. You know, I always say you don't have to boil the ocean, but take one tool possibly and try to get that implemented and then continue to optimize. But, you know, Jim, do you have like a leadership question that you get from CEOs? Do you know what that would be, or a couple of those right off the top of your head?
So Lisa, in any given year, thousands of CEOs will hear me speak. And as a result of that, they'll come up and ask some questions. And the one I hear most often is, where do I start? And I have a very common answer. I say, start where you are, as you can start nowhere else.
That's great.
But what I mean by that is, what seems most important to you? Is it more important to develop a plan to get the organization behind, then start with the one-page plan? If you feel like you've got some plans underway, but you need to make sure your team is aligned, start with the quarterly priority manager. Nothing will align a team of people faster. If you feel like you're not tracking results, as you were saying, with KPIs, or all your KPIs are backward looking, then start with developing some metrics that are meaningful so that people can set some agenda. Oftentimes, I'll have CEOs start with the leadership letter. Write each month to the whole organization, talking about where we're headed, how we're going to get there, and celebrating some people who have helped us along the way. So it just really depends. It can be as simple as a delegation tool that I'll oftentimes share, and that can be the most helpful start. So each person starts in a different place, but I think they all have the same outcome that they're looking for. How do I become a better leader? What can I do to really be a better leader for the people that I work with and who work with and for me? And that's why I say, you know, start with planning, communicate those plans, execute, and then coach people to the highest levels of performance. And I think you're halfway there.
Well, I'm going to ask you one more question and then we'll talk about something extra. You know, I know that you've got a lot of hobbies. You know, don't you play the guitar and you write music and you, you know, you're a poet as well, right? You write some poetry.
Yeah, I do. I do all those things. And then the counter position on all of that, I love to jump in my Jeep and go off-roading. So, you know, I get a little dirty on the weekends as well. Also a very avid golfer. I'm not very good at it, but love to play it. I'm afforded those opportunities a lot here in Arizona.
Oh, you certainly are. There's some beautiful golf courses there. But I have to ask you, I mean, how important are hobbies and just fun, adding fun into your life? How important is that for a leader?
You know, I'm going to say it two different ways, Lisa. I think it's vitally important. The number one thing that I see get in the way of most leaders as they think about transitioning their businesses is they have no life outside of the business. And it looks really scary. It's like, what am I going to do with myself? If you have a lot of hobbies, that time can be well spent and a lot of fun. But I think it's even more than that. And I'd say, find ways to make business more fun. I'm a huge proponent of gamification, having fun with the people that work with and for you, you know, making sure that this is a place where people really want to be and enjoy each other. Because ultimately this, I think very few people end up finding much meaning in their life. They put in time places, and by the way, that can be at work or at home, but they're not really establishing much meaning. And I believe if leaders can establish meaning where people feel like they're getting recognized on a regular basis for doing good work, for making good contributions, for being a part of that team, they'll be very loyal and they'll stick around. They'll have that engagement we talked about. It makes a big difference.
I agree. I could not agree with you more. Well, what do you believe, Jim, is something extra that every leader needs?
I believe, just as we were talking about, it's learning and making sure as a part of the organization that they're celebrating successes. And I think for leaders, we're so focused on getting the win that when the win comes, we move past it way too fast.
Right.
We don't take time to really go, wow, that was big. And if we don't recognize it for ourselves, then oftentimes we don't recognize it with our people. And they're dying to be recognized. You know, there's a famous line from Henry David Thoreau that says, men live lives of quiet desperation. I think they meant all of us, Lisa. I think that's just how they spoke back then. But that desperation, I think people are desperate to be recognized, desperate to be appreciated, desperate for someone to come along and say, hey, you matter. I care that you're here. Thank you. We appreciate you. And I think the leaders who not only do that personally, although that's vitally important, but really build an organization where that is the language of the organization have a significant advantage and definitely is something extra.
Oh, no doubt. That is so good. I'm reminded of my good friend, Dr. Gary Chapman, and how he talks about the love languages and appreciation in the workplace. People, they want to feel valued. They want to feel like that they matter, not just for what they do, but for who they are.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. So, Jim, what's the most exciting thing for you right now? I know you do keynotes all the time and you've got this wonderful book. What are you excited about and how can our listeners get involved?
Well, the big thing right now, Lisa, super excited about supercharging our coaching program. We have certified coaches. We have people who have coaching and consulting practices who come to us to be certified in how to use all the tools and more that we've been talking about with their clients and to build new clients. And this is a big part of the business moving forward. So super excited about that. We've got a training coming up in October that we're excited about. And we may do one more by the end of the year. If not, then probably around the first of the year. And we do them here in Phoenix, Scottsdale area. So not a bad place for some of the country to come in January, is it?
For sure.
We're also building a learning management platform for the tools and the content of the book. And this is really for those companies who, quite frankly, are maybe smaller and getting launched and may not have the resources to bring in a coach or consultant, but they can take themselves through a 7-week course to really help the team understand some of these concepts. So we're excited about that. So I guess what we're doing is we're starting to create leverage up to now. You're right. I speak over 100 times a year and I work with lots of clients. Now we want to bring that to more and more people around the globe.
So how would our listeners find out more about those things?
Website is ceotools.com. That's pretty easy. And my email address is pretty simple, jim.canfield@ceotools.com. And we'll get right back to you and let you know what's involved in either one of those activities.
Sounds good. I hope you have a lot of people sign up, because I know just from reading this book and talking to you, I really do believe that this is going to help people. So thank you so much for making the time to be on the Something Extra podcast today. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, it's been my honor. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.